Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
In a major campaign event, the media hierarchy goes like this. Networks and cable television crews are on risers, high above the crowd, so that their lights and their cameras have a clear line of sight to the candidate. We radio folks, however, well, we're usually lower, literally, behind curtains, or as we were last night at Elizabeth Warren's headquarters, on the floor next to the TV crews. So you could say, I did not see very much. But the truth is, in this regard, radio may be the superior medium, because everything the TV cameras did not see, I saw, which means I saw actual voters. There, on the hot and crowded floor, was a man with a feathered dream catcher the size of a truck tire with a blue Warren poster tied to the middle. There were men jumping for joy with tears streaming from their eyes. There was a woman, arms crossed and strong, looking tired from a day knocking on doors, but satisfied. There was an octogenarian celebrating Massachusetts' first female senator. There, too, was a teenager who's lived in an America where the Secretary of State has always been a woman. As the night climaxed, there, right next to us, was Michael Dukakis and his wife, Kitty. The Fairmont Copley Ballroom was so crowded, the 79-year-old former governor had been pushed to the back of the room, jostled with us radio folks. He stood on a chair to get a better view. A few minutes later, Kitty stood on the same chair with him. He steadied her with one arm around her waist, the other gripped onto the risers. Here was an old Massachusetts couple, tenderly sharing a moment of history. But here also were two members of the Commonwealth's political establishment, who, by virtue of the efforts and enthusiasms of campaign volunteers that night, were sharing this moment on the floor with the rest of us. For me, this was the best view of all, a view of the basic truth of American democracy that's at risk of being overshadowed by the looming tower of big money. The political elite are increasingly unlike the rest of us, but at its heart, ours is a symbiotic system, an imperfect one by many measures, but one in which at least every 4 years, politicians acknowledge that they need voters, as much as voters rely on them for fair representation. Last night, the party faithful called the election a triumph of grassroots organizing. Critics called it a soulless grind of a political machine. It's likely more than a little of both. But at the center of those competing visions were the people I saw. The voters of Massachusetts, who came to the polls yesterday to say, we will support you. We will give you our time and even our money. You may have those things from us, so long as you do not take us for granted.
Coming up, a granite state of mind. It was a good day for Democrats and women in New Hampshire. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.